This is More Than Conquerors with your Bible teacher, Pastor Ray Hagestilianos. As a teaching pastor for almost 30 years, Pastor Ray's heart and vision is simply to build up God's army, enabling them to stand strong in their faith. As the senior pastor at Living Word Christian Church in White Plains, New York, Pastor Ray will challenge you today to begin your walk in integrity and victory, forever changing your life as transformed by the power of God. More Than Conquerors is supported by the generous gifts of listeners like you. You can find us online by going to livingwordchurch.org.
In a loveless world filled with unlovely people, why does God tell us to walk in love? If Jesus said that the second greatest commandment is to love one's neighbor as we would love ourselves, does that mean to simply do him no harm? Or should I bless him too? How should I respond to him being unloving towards me? Is this love a mere feeling, or is it something far more? And because God has made no man perfect, might walking in love with our neighbor sometimes be a difficult thing? In Pastor Ray's brand new two-week series, Loving Your Neighbor by Walking in Love, we'll see that this walk is all about building a powerful, unselfish, God-centered relationship, especially with one's neighbor, but ultimately with God. Over these next 2 weeks, Pastor Ray will take us step by step on a lifelong journey of how best to love God, your neighbor, and yourself by simply walking in love.
The whole entire New Testament is a story of love. All of God's kingdom revolves around this central focus, and that would be love. It first of all would be God's love for mankind, in that he was willing to send Jesus, a part of himself, to this earth to take on man's sin, to break the power of sin, to put the devil in his place, and to give us this great salvation that we have. The greatest demonstration of love, according to what the Bible says, is that a man would lay down his life for another. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He demonstrated God's love in his own actions and activity, in his willingness to come to this earth to die for you and for me, to lay down his life, give his life as a sacrifice, that we might be saved, that we might be blessed. And really, that central theme or focus is one that follows throughout the whole New Testament, and Paul talks about it, the other writers of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all talk in some way, shape, or form about this awesome love that is the central focus of our Christian faith. So why would it be important for us to spend so many months talking about love? Well, because of the sheer fact that this whole kingdom of God, this whole New Testament that we are living in today, this whole dispensation of grace that we live in today, is all centered around the subject of love. Love is a seriously important topic that needs to be discussed and needs to be taught to the body of Christ, especially in the day that we live now with such hatred and ugliness and lovelessness and just self-centeredness and selfishness in the world. Like never before, we need to highlight, we need to talk about, we need to be reminded of what God expects of us as far as it has to do with our love walk. Our love walk has to increase. Our love walk has to develop. Our love walk has to grow because it affects our lives and it affects the lives of people around us. It really affects the whole kingdom of God. It really does. So why would we spend so much time talking about love? I think it's for all of the things that I just said, all of the reasons. It is the central focus of the entire New Testament. In the New Testament, we're presented with this God of love, this God of unbelievable love and mercy and grace that is never ending. It never ceases. God's love for us never ends. It never ceases. And we're exhorted. We're exhorted to love one another. We saw when we started that one verse, and let me give it to everybody in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. It says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything." Arguments over religious practices are totally, absolutely meaningless. Totally, people have all kinds of debates and arguments over different theological differences. Let me tell you what, it all boils down to this. It's meaningless. He said the only thing that matters, the only thing that avails anything, the only thing that has any worth whatsoever or brings about any positive results is this one thing: faith working through love. Faith working through love. So you got to look at two things. You got to look at your faith and you got to look at your love walk. Faith is fueled by love. Love is what ought to be fueling your faith walk. Everything you do in the kingdom is based upon faith, but it ought to be and should be and always must be motivated by love. Love is always the motivation behind my faith, because then my faith becomes very self-centered and very selfish. But if it's motivated by love, then I have a living, growing faith that not only blesses my life, but is also going to bless those around me. Do you understand that? So many people are walking a faith walk that's so self-centered. It's all about what you can get, what you want, what you desire, what you want to have, where you want to go, what you want to be, what you want to do. But how does that impact the body of Christ at large? How does that impact the church? When it's coming from a heart of love, my faith now is not just about what I can get from God, but it's what God can do in my life, how God can increase my life, how God can bless me so that I'm in a better position to bless somebody else. So that I'm in a position to be a giver and not just a taker. I'm in a position to demonstrate to the world the goodness and the richness and the love of God by the actions of my life that have been motivated by the heart of love and faith. So faith is fueled, love is the fuel of faith. And that's really what we ought to be focusing in on, right? Love is probably, next to faith, the most important topic that we can talk about. So he says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. So today what I want to do, I want to go over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, for whatever time we have. And let's try to bring this to conclusion. We'll see. You never know. But Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 43. And today we're going to talk a little bit about loving your enemies. How many of you have an enemy? Amen. Well, maybe you didn't even set out for them to be an enemy, but they all of a sudden became your enemy. You didn't want to be enemies, but you have an enemy. How many of you have an enemy? Have somebody that's angry with you about something? Wow, the rest of you are doing pretty good, man. Maybe you ought to lay hands on the rest of us. Nobody's angry with you? I mean, come on, have you ever had somebody angry with you for whatever reason? Come on, put your hand up. Anybody ever been angry with you? No? Man, that's pretty good. Maybe I better go on to a different lesson today, because I guess I'm not talking to anybody. Because nobody's raising their hand, or very few of you. But I'm going to talk about it anyway, because I know you're lying in church. I know you're lying in church. Of all places to lie, you're doing it in the house of God. We all have been, insulted by people, hurt by people. Everybody in this room, if you didn't know it, you were supposed to raise your hand when I said that. Now, I don't know, maybe you're not listening. All right, so let's go to the Word of God, all right? So love your enemies. So we're going to talk about it. We're going to read two different scriptures, two different gospels, but the same subject. So he says here, and this is Jesus speaking, in verse 43 of chapter 5, he said, "You have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Oh my God. You have to be kidding me, Lord. This is like tough. Well, who said that being a Christian was going to be easy all the time? Because most Christians just want to go by their emotions and their feelings and be led and jerked this way and that way and live according to the way they feel. I feel like hating somebody because they did this to me and I'm going to hate them back. And now a new rule, a new command, or a new guideline is set in motion by the Lord. And he said, "You heard it said, love your neighbor but hate your enemy." But I'm telling you, I'm going to flip this whole thing. I'm going to tell you, love, not only should you love your enemy, but you ought to show it. You ought to bless them. Did you ever bless somebody that didn't like you or somebody that, hurt you? Try it sometime. I remember when we were building this building, we were the the focus here of a lot of hatred, a lot of anger, because, you know, the community didn't want a church. They didn't want, I don't know what it was about us. We're just a peaceful church with a bunch of really nice people. But whatever it was, you know, the land was undisturbed. You know, like the neighbors, they wanted to stay woods. Well, my answer to them, if you wanted to stay woods, why didn't you buy the woods and keep it woods? The property was for sale. You could have bought it just like I bought it. I didn't buy it to keep it woods. I bought it to build a church. And I'm building a church, and I want to do it peacefully, so work with us so we can put it up and we'll all be happy. We'll give you whatever you want to do. But we had a lot of hatred, you know, towards it. One of the things was when we were building it up. Now, I don't know if any of you are union people, and I don't mean to offend you or insult you, but this is what happened. We put up, you know, we put up the building, but we didn't have the money to hire union workers. It was too expensive. So people within the church, we were working, we used a lot of our own people, we tried to find people that could help us. We had no money. We had no money. We're a church. We're not a business. We're a church. Well, the local union found out that we were building up here, and we weren't using union workers at the time because we couldn't afford to. We couldn't use a contractor that was a union place, so we had to find a non-union. So they found out about it, and they set up pickets in the front of our building. Now, we have just dirt and a big hole, and they wouldn't bring cement, they wouldn't bring wood, they wouldn't bring nails, they wouldn't bring anything, shingles, root, nothing. We couldn't get anything through the picket line. We're a church. Amen. We're a church. Amen. We're not building a building to make money. We're building a building to save souls. Right. We're a church. Amen. Right? And we're trying to do this on a shoestring budget. We didn't have money, and we're trying to do it with a little bit of money. But they set up a picket line. And they were out there every day with their picket signs, and they wouldn't see, for those who don't understand, when they set up a picket, other union workers will not cross that picket line. So here we are with a big hole, big empty lot, we can't get any material. So they're out there every day. So I just go back to the Word of God and says, you know, just bless those who persecute you. So I told the guys that were here, you know, then I said, look, this is what you do. Every morning, go to Dunkin' Donuts, buy them a gallon of hot coffee and a box of donuts. And give it to them every day. I said, give it to them every day. And every day, just go down there and say, hey, guys, we just want to bless you. We're going to give you a... Well, first of all, they were confounded. They couldn't understand why. Of course, they ate our donuts and they drank our coffee. But they couldn't understand why we were giving them donuts and coffee. To them, it didn't make any sense. To me, it made absolute sense because Jesus said, bless those who persecute you. Now, the interesting thing about this, they never went away. They stayed, and other union companies would not cross that picket line. But it was so interesting how we found other companies who couldn't give a hoot whether they were union guys or non-union guys. They'd run them over with their trucks to come on the property to bring what we needed. And if they didn't get out of the way, they would have been under the truck. So it's interesting how God brought everything we needed. Now, I could have gotten into a whole thing, went out there and had an argument with them and a yelling match and, you know, cursing them. And you understand what I'm saying? But sometimes you just got to do what the Word of God says, and God will bring what you need, when you need it, how you need it, the way you need it. God will bring your need. Just because people are persecuting you doesn't mean that your life is over. When you are in persecution, that's the time for you to pick up the Word of God and start to live the Word of God. And I've taught this principle to people in the church. They've had like a disagreement with somebody in the church, or someone's got a bug up their nose about somebody, and they come to me and they cry, I don't understand what I did. I really love that person. I don't know why they hurt me. And they didn't invite me to their party. They didn't do this. They didn't send me a Christmas card. I was like, stop. Bless those who persecute you. You go buy the fanciest box of cookies or cake, or go bless them and show them how much you actually love them. You're going to stop them dead in their tracks right where they are. They're going to be paralyzed by your love because they're saying, why would they do this to me? I don't even want to know them. Why are they blessing me? You will paralyze people with love when you do what the Word of God says. Jesus said, bless those who persecute you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Get down and pray for the people that, you know, have aggravated your life. Amen. Pray for them. I've had to do that, and I continue to do that over the course of years of being in ministry. All kinds of things happen. People, you know, whatever they do, they do. And they can offend you. They can hurt you. But if you're really walking in love, you have to override your emotions. You have to override your emotions. You have to override your pride. You have to squelch that pride in your life, and you have to humble yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to walk in love. What I'm feeling right now is unlovely. They're spitefully using me. They are like enemies to me. But God, I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to do whatever it is that I can do. See, love dispels hate. Love dispels, you know, the attitude of your enemy. It dissolves that angry feeling, and it sets things on a new level when you respond with love as opposed to responding with hatred or responding with like in like manner. If someone treats you ugly, don't give them ugly back. Someone treats you ugly, you humble yourself, you swallow your pride, you pull your emotions together, and you seek a way to bless them back. You curse me, I'm going to bless you. You hurt me, I'm going to bless you. You despitefully use me, I'm going to bless you back. Amen. It doesn't make sense in the natural. It goes against every shred of human common sense that we have, but it's what we need to do to cancel out the ugliness of hatred and lovelessness and pride and anger. That's how you dissolve it. You do it by love. So Jesus is teaching us a really tough word here. He said, your enemies, man, just bless them. Do something. He said, but I say, verse 44, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now he goes on to say, verse 45, why would we do that? That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his son Or he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. He said, so that you may be sons. Well, what's a son? A son is mature. That's what it means. A mature Christian. Baby Christians. You always tell baby Christians or immature Christians or rebellious Christians will always respond. If they're nudged and they're hurt, they're going to respond with hurt. They're going to try to hurt back. That's not being mature. A mature Christian responds with love. A mature Christian humbly stands there and says, I hate that you're doing this. And the only thing, I have the power. I have all the, you know, the emotion behind it to really, really lop your head off right now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, let's be honest. You know, some people just want to punch them in the nose. You just want to slap them in the face, right? I mean, am I talking all right here? I mean, I'm not saying we would ever do it, but the thought, you know, your carnal nature just comes alive. You know, that beast within you just wants to come alive when someone hurts you. But Jesus says, bless them, pray for them, do something good to them. So he says, so that you may be sons, you may be the mature ones. And he says in verse 46, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? If you love people who love you, what kind of reward do you get? Let that sink in. If you love people that love you, how do you get a reward for that? That's easy. God wants to reward some difficult things, you know? You know, not everybody gets a gold first prize, you know, pin or you know, whatever. It's only the one who overcame the odds, who worked hard, who had to push through. You know, that's the one who gets the reward. How do you get a reward just because you see in the church we love each other and you see here, let me just say, it's so easy to work with people you like. It's so easy. Like we do stuff here, you know, and people want to work with certain people. Well, I don't want to work with that person. I don't want to work. Why? What kind of reward do you get? It's easy to work with brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. But sister Bucketmouth over there, she's difficult. Sister opinionated, brother opinionated, they're really, you know, and they're married to each other. All they do is talk about, you know, talk about everything and everybody all week long. It's hard to work with them. But where's the reward when you just work with people that you love? Sure, it's easier. Oh, absolutely, it's easier. But aren't we here for one another to help each other grow? Isn't this the body of Christ? This isn't just little segregated groups of people who like each other and are comfortable with each other. We're supposed to break into relationships that are difficult, that are hard, that are sometimes, you know, not easy to deal with. That's what we're supposed to do. That's where the reward comes. Easy to work with people we like. I mean, you know, I've fallen into the same. I don't work with, let's find somebody else. No, man, sometimes you just got to bust through that stuff and show that love. What kind of reward do we get when we just love each other and we just bless each other because we love each other? There's no reward in that. We're supposed to face off with difficult people. And we're supposed to melt their heart with the love of God, not with an argument. So do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even tax collectors do so? So really what Jesus is saying, that we as Christians, if we're really truly walking in love, we're going to be outstanding. We're going to be outstanding. Because even people who, you know, are difficult to work with, even people who, you know, their personalities rub you the wrong way, when they feel the love of God coming from you, it's going to melt their heart. It's going to bust things wide open. I'm telling you, it's going to break things wide open. I once had a situation many years ago, I think some of you heard this story, when I was working in a furniture store and it came to the end of my time there and it didn't end really well. I had an argument with, this is going back 45 years ago, something like 47, whatever it was, a long time ago. Ended up in an argument with the boss, and I walked out, and anyway, he owed me $5,000, and he refused to pay me. I went back to the store, and I talked to the bookkeeper, and the bookkeeper was so afraid. She said, well, I can't get involved in this, you know. She was trying to cover for him, and she was also trying to be pleasant to me. She was in the middle of it, and all of my tickets, because I was selling furniture in those days, all of my tickets, he took them, and they disappeared. I had it written down in a book, but I didn't have the tickets. But he refused to pay me. He wouldn't pay me. And I was just, like, really regaining my stride with the Lord at that time. It was one of the very first lessons I learned about forgiveness and walking the love walk. I mean, I was pretty angry because I needed the money. I didn't have a job anymore. $5,000 45 years ago was a lot of money. It's still a lot of money. Would you agree with me? But, you know, the Lord got a hold of me. He said, and basically, this is what he said, you know, in these terms, just let it go. Just let it go. Don't fight for it. I'll restore it in your life. I'll bring it back to you one way or another. Just let it go. And you know what? I did. I just let it go. You know, I just let it go. I said, forget it. I could have went to court. I could have went, got a lawyer. I could have went there and threatened him. I could have done all kinds of things. And I knew a lot of stuff, a lot of things about the way he did business, that he could have been in big trouble with the IRS. I knew a lot of stuff. I had a lot of information. And I could have wrecked his life and wrecked his business. But you know what? So what would be the sense of that? For what? For $5,000? For money? Who cares? God will provide my needs according to his riches and glory. And if it doesn't come from that source, it'll come from another source.
Tune in tomorrow afternoon at 2 for More Than Conquerors with Pastor Ray. If today's message was a blessing to you, ask for your free CD of the broadcast for a gift of any amount to help support this radio ministry. Just mail your request with your check to More Than Conquerors or MTC, P.O. Box 8187, White Plains, New York, 10602. Be sure to include the date of the message you're requesting. If ordering a complete Bible study series, a minimum love offering of $20 is appreciated. Identify the series and include the word series in your order. If you missed any of the hundreds of inspiring, life-changing Bible study messages of encouragement taught by Pastor Ray on this More Than Conquerors radio station, such as those on salvation, healing, miracles, faith, forgiveness, and many more, podcast downloads of all these programs are yours free of charge by simply going to PastorRayNY.com or WMCA.com and clicking on podcasts. That's podcasts at either Pastor Ray NY. wmcny.com or wmca.com. Thank you for listening to and supporting this ministry of God-centered lessons of integrity and victory from the Word of God, and being ever mindful that, as life's challenges come, God's Word is truth and will always impact our lives in a positive way in making us more than conquerors.